It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Today's broadcast is going to be a little bit different, but I think that you are going to be very much enlightened, edified, and encouraged. And perhaps this will also give you a deeper burden to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people as religious Jews around the world now celebrate Tabernacles, Sukkot, during this week. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to give you a little bit of Jewish background to the New Testament, to some of the teaching of Jesus that will open up for you, as well as talk to you about the use of Scripture during certain of the Jewish biblical holy days of the year, and give you an opportunity to get a free DVD sent to you. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Now, let me tell you how we're going to do things today. I am going to be giving you some information in the course of the broadcast. You're going to be calling in and answering some questions. If you get them right, we will send you a free DVD. Now, Joey in the studio has the answers waiting for you. You won't be coming on the air. You'll just be talking to him. And then towards the end of the show, I'll give the answers to everybody. So first, let me give you a little bit of background. Most all of you know that I'm Jewish, but I wasn't raised in a religious home. That means that I went to synagogue periodically, mainly for the high holy days. I did go to Hebrew school for a couple of years before I was bar mitzvahed. So probably the ages, 10 to 13, something like that, you would go. You would learn a little bit of Hebrew. I mean, we worked at it, but it just was not an environment to really learn a lot. So you'd learn a little bit of Hebrew, little Jewish history, and then you'd have to prepare a text in Hebrew when you were bar mitzvahed, and you would chant that text from the Bible at the synagogue on that particular Saturday. And there's a particular chant that you would have to learn with the words. So it'd take a while. You'd prepare. You'd meet with the rabbi. He'd coach you on it. And then the big day would come, and you'd chant your passage. Well, I never knew what it was. In other words, I learned the Hebrew, but no one sat me down and said, okay, Michael, here's the text you're actually learning, and you can read it in English, and here's what it's about. So it was only many years later that I happened to be looking at a listing of texts and the dates that they would have been read, and I realized, oh, March 16th, which was also my birthday and the day of my bar mitzvah, 1968, turning 13 years old, the text I would have read was from 1 Kings 18, where Elijah calls down fire from heaven. So I thought, well, I like that. That's a wonderful text to read on that day. So in the synagogues, though, if you're raised in a religious home, a lot of your life revolves around the Scripture. Now, it's only certain portions of the Scripture, but you are in the Scriptures on a regular basis, even though most of your study is in later rabbinic literature called Talmud and law codes and things like that. But when you pray every day, a lot of the prayers are taken from the Psalms, so you're reading Psalms and some other portions of Scripture. You're reading through the Torah, the five books of Moses, on an annual cycle. So you're reading through that every week in the synagogue and then studying it during the week. And then there are portions called Haftarah, or normally pronounced Haftorah. And that is a selection from the historical books or from some of the prophetic books that often tie in with the themes of the weekly Torah reading. And then in the synagogue, on the Sabbath, you read the portion of Torah that you've been studying through the week, as well as a portion from the historical books of prophets. That's why my portion to chant was from 1 Kings 18. And all this is done in Hebrew. Now, there are also special readings for certain times of the year. And the Hebrew division of books in the Old Testament is different than the English division. Identical books, but a different division. Our English translations follow the order that was in the Greek translation, the Septuagint, which is, as you know, five books of Moses, then the historical books, then poetry and wisdom books, and then the prophetic books. And Daniel is included among the prophets, and Lamentations is in there following Jeremiah. The order is different in the Hebrew Bible called the Tanakh. The T stands for Torah, meaning the five books of Moses. Then the next division is called the Nevi'im. That's what the N is for in Tanakh, N for Nevi'im, prophets. And that refers to some of the historical books, Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets. And the rest, that's called Ketuvim. That's what the K stands for in Tanakh. Ketuvim, which is writings, which is everything else. Okay? So, identical books, but different order. The last book in our Bible is what? Malachi in the Old Testament. The last book in the Tanakh is what? Do you know? 2 Chronicles. But it's same books, just different order for parts of it. And within the writings, there's something called the five scrolls. So here's where we're going to get out your pen and paper if you can, or jot things down on your smartphone or your computer. If you're driving, careful. Just try to remember. Five scrolls. You ready? The five scrolls are the Song of Solomon, or also known as the Song of Songs. All right. Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. Let me tell you again. Five scrolls, these that's what they're called, these five books of the Bible in Jewish tradition. One is Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. Another one is Ruth. Another one is Lamentations. Another is Ecclesiastes. And another is Esther. And each of these are read at a certain time of the year in conjunction with a special holy day or holy season on the biblical calendar. So here's your challenge. And let me give you the guidelines. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. You won't be coming on the air, but you'll be calling in with your answers. Here's what you need to do. Are you ready? You need to tell me, and you only have to get one right, but you're going to call in and take a guess on one in particular, all right? I'm going to give you the five different holy days or seasons, and you have to tell me which book is read on which. So you'll call in and say, okay, this book is read on this one. You get one guess for one. Now, here are the guidelines. You can study any resource, any book that you have, but you can't get online to find out. All right? You can dig whatever information you have. If you have a study Bible, if you have some encyclopedia, whatever, you say, I'm at work. Okay, hey, I'm trying to be fair here because it's so easy to get information online. So, you ready? Let me give you the five scrolls again. Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. All right. One of these is read in the Feast of Tabernacles. Which one? That's the first question. You can call in to answer this one first. One of these is read on the Feast of Tabernacles. Which of these five is read in conjunction with the Feast of Tabernacles? 866-348-7884. Now, as the show goes on, I'm going to give you the other holy days, and then you have to tell me which is read which. And at the end of the show, I'm going to give you the answers, all right? But first, let me remind you that a lot of the New Testament is written against the backdrop of the biblical calendar. And Paul would even talk to the Corinthians as if they knew and understood these things in 1 Corinthians 5. Saying that Messiah, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed, therefore keep the feast in an unleavened way. Even if he was only talking spiritually, metaphorically, they knew about the Passover, they knew about the Passover lamb, they knew about the feast which was kept with unleavened bread. Why? Because many of them lived among Jews, or some were God-fearing Gentiles that were in the synagogue. So in the synagogue, they were becoming familiar with the truths of Israel, but they didn't convert and become fully Jewish. They were considered to be God-fearing Gentiles, but not Israelites. Now, Paul, of course, comes with the wonderful news that through faith in Jesus, they have equal access to God and equal privilege in the kingdom. Jews don't become Gentiles. Gentiles don't become Jews when they get saved, but they now have equal access to God. And these Gentiles who were once afar off now become priests to God. It's amazing truth. Without having to convert and without having to take on the full burden or the full responsibility of the Jewish law and Jewish commandments. But they were familiar with these things. Paul could talk about these dates. Luke writing Acts could talk about these dates, these seasons, whether it's the fast, meeting the Day of Atonement. The calendar was well known. And some of the teaching in the New Testament, for example, John, the 10th chapter, the background to that is best seen as the time of Hanukkah. The scripture speaks of the feast of dedication in the winter. So this was something that came into play in between the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament, with the triumph of the Maccabees, Hanukkah. And it's there, it's background for the New Testament. This was the lifestyle. Okay, we come back. I'm going to get into John 7 with you, and then we will give away some more DVDs. Stay with us. All right, I just did something I have never done before on the broadcast. I offered a free DVD to those that get some answers right on the broadcast today, but I didn't tell you which one it was. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Before I give you the phone number and tell you about the special competition today, let me tell you what you'll receive. We're so thrilled to have the DVD out of my debate earlier this year with Professor Bart Ehrman at Ohio State University. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? I believe it'll be an eye-opening, edifying tool, encouraging you as a believer, great to give to non-believers that have these questions. You can order them on our website, askdrbrown.org. But if you answer questions right today, we'll be giving away at least five. Now, you can't get five for yourself. It's five different people. Even if you've previously gotten special offers, you can call in today. So here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You won't be answering on the air. You'll be talking to Joey, our producer, and I'll tell you if you get the answer right or wrong. So we've been talking about the Jewish division of Scripture, same books as we have in our Christian Bibles, but a different order. And there are five books that are called the Five Scrolls. So to tell you what these books are again, Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. So the first question was, which of these books, which of these five scrolls is read during the Feast of Tabernacles? That's your first question. Which of these books is read during the Feast of Tabernacles? I'm going to give you the answers at the end. Again, the guidelines, you can't get online to research this. Talk to others if you're working among other believers. You can look with any resources you have in your home, any study guides, encyclopedias, etc. But, and if you have my book, What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus, you can get all these answers very quickly because they're all in there, all right? Which of these books is read at Tabernacles? Second one, are you ready? Which of these five books is read on Purim? Purim, P-U-R-I-M, mentioned in the Bible. It is a time of celebration. It is a time of victory. In fact, there's a Jewish joke that there's a similar theme in most of the holidays, and it certainly works for Purim. Are you ready? This is the common theme. They tried to kill us. God delivered us. Let's eat. So, first question, which of the five books is read at Tabernacles? Second question, which of the five is read during Purim? Which of the five is read during Purim? Now, I want to go with you to John, the 7th chapter. And if you go there, John chapter 7, there is some teaching of Jesus which is understood very clearly, that the Bible tells us what's happening then, understood against the background of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it tells us at the beginning of the chapter, John chapter 7, verse 2, now the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. So Jesus' brothers advised him, leave here and go to Judea so your disciples may see your miracles that you're performing. So no one who seeks to make a reputation for himself does anything in secret. If you're doing these things, show yourself to the world. And he said, no, my time has not yet arrived. I'm not going yet, and you don't understand. So he waited, and then after a season when his brothers had already gone up, he himself went up, not openly, but in secret, the scripture says. Now, look at this a little bit later in the seventh chapter. Verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the greatest day, Jesus stood up and shouted out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Why say that at that time? Just as the scripture says, from within him will flow rivers of living water. Now, there is debate. This is the feast 7 days or 8 days. But this much we know. There were ceremonies that went on through the seventh day of drawing water, a festival of lights and water, an extraordinary procession that would capture the attention of the Jewish people as these giant jars of water were carried through the city. There was water poured out at the temple. Scripture is read from Ezekiel 47 about the river flowing out from the temple, Zechariah 14 about the river of God that would flow in the new city of Jerusalem. And Jesus, against this backdrop, what a time to speak it, says, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink." What a statement. What a statement of his messiahship, of his lordship, even of his deity. "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And then as it's written, out of his belly or out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Probably talking about these very scriptural passages about the rivers of life flowing out from the temple. And there are other verses in the New Testament. I'll give an example of one that are best understood against a Jewish background. So Matthew, the fifth chapter, when Jesus is talking about that we shouldn't retaliate with an eye for eye, tooth for tooth mentality, lex talionis as it's called in Latin. So he's not talking about self-defense there. He's not talking about if someone breaks into your home and is trying to kill you and your family that you say, "Oh, yeah, the bedroom where the kids are is over here." No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about retaliation, legal retaliation, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And he says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. What's the significance of that? Luke simply says if someone slaps you on the cheek, but Matthew says right cheek. Well, just picture this. Right-handedness is assumed as the norm, all right? The seat of power, the right hand, right? So if I slap someone on the cheek with my right hand, they're facing me, I slap which? The left cheek. If I slap them on the right cheek, that means I've given them a backhanded slap. Well, do you know that in Jewish law that we have from within 200 years of that time, that Jewish law had specific guidelines for being publicly shamed? If you're slapped on the left cheek, then you're entitled to a certain compensation. If you're slapped on the right cheek, a backhanded slap, it's a higher form of public insult, you're entitled to a higher compensation. And what the scripture is saying, what Jesus is teaching is, no. If there is public insult, and you have the right to sue, you have the right to take this person to court, and you have the right to receive certain income or a certain amount of a fine payment to you. No, don't respond like that. In fact, let him insult you again. Let him strike you on the other cheek. Overcome evil with good. It has nothing to do with self-defense. But the more you understand the Jewish background and context, the more sense that it makes. Okay, last time I'm going to ask this, and I'm going to give the answers on the other side of the break. Which of these five books, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, Ruth, Song of Solomon, Esther, was read on Tabernacles? Rich is read during Purim, 866-34-TRUTH. We will be right back. Michael Walker Brown. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us. Glad to be with you as always. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you say, boy, you know, I really enjoy this teaching on Jewish roots and Jewish background to the New Testament and teaching about God's purposes for Israel and trying to understand errors about replacement theology, the idea that the church replaced Israel and things like that, I wish I'd just take a whole class with you. Well, you can. Yes, you can. You say, oh, yeah, I know you teach at your school of ministry and at seminary, but I can't get there. I understand that. You can take my class on Jewish roots on a live video stream, live streaming, not this coming week, but the week after. Tuesday through Friday, our Fire School of Ministry class will be available. 12 hours of teaching, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday mornings. And you can get the benefit, the same class, the same PowerPoint presentation, the same video clips, the same anecdotes that our students will get, and you can get it live. And it's only $50 for the entire week. Or if you have a group of people in your own school or Bible study group and you meet in the mornings, you have the opportunity to do it just for $25 per viewer for the entire class. So take advantage of it. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on resources and you'll see a link for online classes. If you're unable to take it but really interested, we will make it available later on video on demand. Also, my class just a few days from now, next week, on history and characteristics of revival is going to be available live streaming as well. Okay, I'm ready to give some answers, and then our next questions, and then I got just a few news items and articles on some other subjects I want to get into, changing gears here very much. All right, I've asked the question, the books that are called the Five Scrolls in Jewish tradition, which are Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, and Esther. When are they read? So my first question was, which book is read during the Feast of Tabernacles? The answer to that, so don't call in, we're already past that one, is Ecclesiastes. Why? Because Ecclesiastes has the message of the transitory nature of life, the fleeting nature of life, and life under the sun, how futile it is. And since this is the time that Jewish people, religious Jews, spend time eating and hanging out in the sukkah, in the tabernacle that they make according to rabbinic specifications and have it in the back of their home, or you may have one built by the synagogue near where you live, Ecclesiastes is read during that time because this is the time that the Jewish people remember that we passed through the desert and lived in tents and everything was transitory and it was a difficult time. This is remembered, although it is a feast of great celebration. Then my second question was, what's read during Purim? Well, that was really an easy one. If you know the book of Esther, you know that the celebration of Purim takes place in commemoration of the deliverance of the Jewish people from the plot of Haman, evil Haman, which the book of Esther talks about. Incredible book about how God takes the plans of the wicked and turns them upside down for the deliverance of his people. Job 5:13, he takes the wicked in their own craftiness. So this is a time when Jews will read the book of Esther, and many times the custom is, this is commonly done, that you have a play, and this one plays Haman, and this one plays this character, Mordecai, and you have special celebration and eating and drinking, and many Messianic Jewish congregations have all kinds of cool plays at this time of the year. Okay, next one. Are you ready? The Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, which book is read? We've got three left now. Okay, we have Ruth, Lamentations, and Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. Which one is read during Shavuot, Pentecost, and which one is read during Passover? Got that? 866-34-TRUTH. Which one is read during Passover? Which one is read during Feast of Weeks? Is it Ruth? Is it Lamentations? Is it Song of Songs or Song of Solomon? Okay, I am switching gears now completely and catching up on a few items I wanted to talk about. Are you ready for this? September 20th health tech reports. Oh, this is big news. This is big news. That people that play violent video games and then think about those games exhibit greater aggression 24 hours later. Well, what do you know? Who ever would have dreamed of such a thing? Who would have dreamed of such a thing? Wow. Forgive the sarcasm. Now, here's what's fascinating. And by the way, if you're waiting for the answers on the air, you're just calling in and talking to Joey, who's answering the phones. He's got the answers in front of him. So when you call, he'll tell you if you're right or wrong, and you'll know right there. And then I'll give the answers later on in the broadcast. Here's what's fascinating. And they only had people playing the games like a half an hour. So they said, play the game, and then just go on with life. Don't think about it. Or play a nonviolent video game. Or play the game and then think about, okay, how could I do this better? How could I improve this? How could I do this? How could I do that? And then there's men they had playing, women they had playing. The men who played the game and thought about this, so this was published in the Social, Psychological, and Personality Science Journal. Wow, who would have thought that? I appreciate the study. The men who played the game and thought about it exhibited increased aggression 24 hours later. The men who played the violent game and didn't think about it, weren't instructed to think about it, did not exhibit the aggression. And the women, whether they thought about it or not, didn't exhibit the aggression. Very interesting. And perhaps that's some of the unique contribution of the study. But come on, half an hour. We're not talking half an hour. There are people that play these games by the hour, hour after hour, and they're consumed with it. The images are in their head, and they think about it when they're sleeping, and they're constantly involved in this. You better believe it has the potential of increasing aggression. By the way, one other little curious story. I've never done this, but I understand that with different video games, you compete with other people online, and it's massive time-consuming. Even people's whole identity gets caught up in this. So someone had an Xbox subscription to a particular game, $12 a month prepaid, and he put down where he lived, and they have strict guidelines, no offensive terminology and so on, and insults. And he put down where he lived in West Virginia, Fort Gay. He got banned. He missed some big competition, some big climactic thing in the game, the online game he was playing. The mayor of Fort Gay actually tried to get involved to say it's a real place, but whoever he talked to, supervisors and others, there was that word you're saying. They wouldn't even say the word. You can't use that. They thought it was a slur. They thought he was obviously attacking homosexual men or women using that name. And it's, no, I live in Fort Gay. They finally found out and apologized, but he missed the competition. So Fort Gay has been here, what, hundreds of years? But Microsoft people didn't believe him, and he was temporarily banned from Xbox competition. Okay, when we come back, answers to the questions we just posed and more. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you as always. Actually, delighted to spend this time with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. First half of the broadcast, we were talking about some Jewish background to the feasts and holy days, opening up some more truths, some Jewish background to the New Testament in general, as well as giving away some of my DVDs of the debate I had with Professor Bert Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering. So we've got a little bit more to give away, but first let me give you some answers. Here's what we're doing. We're looking at the five books in the Bible that in Jewish tradition are called the five scrolls. And we found out one of them, Ecclesiastes, is read every year during the Feast of Tabernacles because it speaks of the transitory and futile nature of life, and Tabernacles commemorates Jewish people living in booths, living in tents, tabernacles during the wilderness wanderings. And then Esther, which is read during the celebration of Purim. Just read Esther chapter 9, verses 26 to 32 for more on that. Then we ask the question, okay, Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, when is that read? Which feast, which holy day? Or actually, we ask the reverse question, what's read on Passover? And that's your answer. Song of Songs, Song of Solomon is read during Passover. Why? Because Passover tells the love story of God and Israel. Just as many Christians read Song of Solomon as the love story of Jesus and the church, the Jewish people read it metaphorically as the love story of God and Israel. And that's what the Passover tells. And then Ruth is read during Shavuot, Pentecost, the key connection there being the harvest festival and the harvest imagery, the agricultural ties between the two accounts. So that leaves us then with Lamentations. When was Lamentations read? Now, you can't call in for this one, but I'm going to give you a bonus question, all right? Lamentations is read on a day which is not found in Scripture in terms of a specific day of mourning, but it's called Tisha B'Av. It normally falls July, August. It's the ninth of Av, the month of Av. It's the ultimate day of mourning on the Jewish calendar. According to Jewish tradition, the first temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av. The second temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av. Jews were expelled from Jerusalem on the ninth of Av. Various other tragedies in Jewish history are tied in with that. And some of them, that is the specific date. So it's a time for fasting and mourning. Lamentations is read on that. Okay, so last question for you. Are you ready? 866-34-TRUTH. Which book is read on Yom Kippur on the Day of Atonement? It's a fairly short book. 866-34-TRUTH. Which book is read on the Day of Atonement? No, it's not one of these five. It's a different one. All right? It's a fairly short book, and it is read on the Day of Atonement every year in the synagogue. Which book is that? Okay. Right before the break, on a totally different subject, we were talking about violent video games. And I've talked sometimes about violence in sports, and something fascinating I read. There is a mixed martial arts athlete named Antonio McKee, 40 years old, obviously in phenomenal shape, and he's been criticized for having a boring fighting style. He's won fight after fight after fight by decision. And he said, okay, and he's a champion, that if he does not win by knockout, stoppage of some kind, submission of some kind, something brutal, then he would retire. So he fought recently, and he split the guy's head open with an elbow. I was curious to see this, and I watched with caution. I got on YouTube and looked for the clip. And this guy, I mean, blood starts pouring out of his head. I mean, it's just gushed out of the guy's head. And look at what he says. After that fight was over, I felt bad for that guy. I split that dude's head open. I just changed his face for the rest of his life. That gash was so deep and so long that he had to receive staples, not stitches, staples. I don't want to be that monster. That's the monster that came from the streets. And when I told you I had to go back to the ghetto and grab a part of me that I tried to get rid of, I brought him back, and that's scary to me because I don't think that nobody can deal with that individual. Now look at what he said. I don't get off on that, so I prayed and asked God for the strength to start submitting people because I don't want to hurt people like that. In other words, just submit them. They tap out and they say, okay, I give up. And he actually says that when he went to church with his daughter, that he had to pray for forgiveness. He cried with his daughter for forgiveness at church. I'll come back to that on the other side of the break. But Christianity and violence in sports, are they compatible? I think not. All right, the clock is against us once again. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. If you missed the show, make sure to go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You can listen to it later today. You can subscribe by podcast. And don't forget, next 2 weeks, my classes at Fire School of Ministry are going to be available on live stream, a webcast, inexpensively for the entire week for a 12-hour class. Go to AskDrBrown.org. You can find the info right on the homepage. History and Characteristics of Revival this coming week. The week after that, Jewish Roots, which ties in with a lot of what we talked about today. Okay, quick review. Which book of the Bible is read during the Feast of Tabernacles in the synagogues, in the homes? It is Ecclesiastes. Passover is Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. A Feast of Weeks is Ruth. Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, a day of mourning, is Lamentations. And Esther is read at Purim. Okay, my last question, folks have been calling in for a free gift from the ministry, giving us answers. Which book, short book of the Bible, is read on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement? It is the book of, did you get it? The book of Jonah. Why? Because of the theme of repentance. Because of the theme of repentance and the theme of God's mercy. So that book is read in the synagogue on the Day of Atonement. All right. Before the break, I was revisiting a topic that we've talked about several times on the show, namely violence in sports or violence in entertainment, and how that comports with the gospel. I want to make clear that I'm not claiming to be anyone's judge in terms of, can someone be a boxer and a believer? Can someone be a hockey player that gets into fights and a believer? Can someone be a mixed martial artist and be a believer? I am not the judge of individuals. I don't fully know what goes on in hearts and minds. I don't know what their intent is in terms of violence inflicted, but I did find it fascinating. I did find it fascinating that mixed martial artist Antonio McKee, who did not want to be the man that he used to be, as he said, had to go back to the ghetto and grab a part of him that he tried to get rid of. So when he would fight, he prayed for strength. He asked God, he says, for the strength to start submitting people, because I don't want to hurt people like that. So in other words, you get someone in the chokehold and they tap, say, okay, I quit. And that's it. You haven't hurt them. So he was criticized for just going to decisions and letting the judges decide in his favor and not really hurting people that badly. So he said, okay, if I don't knock this guy out, then I'm going to retire. And he split the guy's head open with his elbow, and he blood gushing out. He won the fight. He said, listen, he feels bad about it. He went to church that Sunday, next Sunday, cried with his daughter for forgiveness. This is what an article says that I read. I just happened upon it. But he's ready to go. He said, look, I'm 45. I don't drink. He said he's 40. He said, but I can do this when I'm 45. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm not on steroids. I take care of myself. I can fight till I'm 60 if I want to. And now you know what you can expect from him. Say, yeah, you like this violence, you're going to bring it. So it's just so interesting to me that he recognized it was wrong to hurt people like that, prayed for strength to win his fights another way, and then cries for forgiveness after splitting a guy's head open, but basically knows, hey, that's my ticket to greater fame and the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. That's where I'm going to be going. Hey, perhaps it's a time for all of us to look at our hearts, look at what entertains us, look at what moves us, and say, Lord, may I shine with the beauty of Jesus.